This lecture was delivered on September 21st, 2002 by Dr. Ian Shillington and is entitled Naturopathy. It is 60 minutes long. This lecture is copyright C, 2002 by Ian Shillington, all rights reserved. No reproduction of any kind is permitted under any circumstances without prior written approval. And here's Doc.
Well, today I've gathered together many of my research notes, and I'm going to give a talk on naturopathy. There are many questions that have been plaguing modern man for decades, and I plan to answer many of these for you today. Questions such as, why are many in my family sick so much of the time throughout the year? Why do women have such serious problems with PMS and menopause? What is the reason my child is going through puberty at 7, 8, or 9 years of age? What is the reason my medications seem to increase and get stronger every year? How come I seem to be less healthy as time goes by? Why am I so tired and have so little energy all of the time? Why am I so god-awful fat and overweight, and what in the Sam Dickens is naturopathy anyway? As many of my friends, students, and patients know, for the last several years I've been doing extensive research into the field of physical health while helping hundreds of people heal themselves permanently of many different and sometimes difficult diseases. This includes helping those with supposedly incurable diseases, such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, etc., etc. Well, I'd like to state right up front that there is hope. There really is hope, regardless of what's wrong with you. There are very affordable, natural solutions to your health problems, and you can be well, regardless of what your medical doctor has told you. In fact, during this lecture, you'll see how the medico has been part of the problem. And when you start taking full responsibility for your own physical health, you may discover that you never need to see a doctor again. So what is naturopathy? There wasn't one decent description of it in the dozen dictionaries I checked, so I had to refine the definition myself. According to Webster's, the word naturopathy comes from the three root words nature, o, and pathy. Nature traces back to the Latin word natus, which means birth or cause. O is Old English for the word of, while pathy comes from the Greek word pathos, meaning disease. Well, this is absolutely wonderful. For now, at least, a working definition can be created as follows. Naturopathy, a practice that deals with the cause of disease. In using the word nature and the word natural, it can be easily seen that man-made drugs and surgery, as used by the psychiatrist and the medical doctor, have absolutely no place in naturopathy or in its definition. Therefore, an exact definition is now created as follows. Naturopathy, noun, the science or art of treating disease by addressing the cause, using nutrition, exercise, sunlight, clean air, pure water, massage, hydrotherapy, both hot and cold, confront, prayer, meditation, lifestyle, biochemistry, which includes vitamins, proteins, and herbs, etc., and correcting any imbalances found. Many teachers and healers have witnessed that the correction of these imbalances allows the body to mend itself automatically, resulting in excellent health. Another thing is certain. By addressing the cause of disease, naturopathy as a subject is senior to and more effective in treatment than conventional medicine that handles only the symptoms. A good example of this is the average case of headache or migraine. Let's say a person has a headache and goes to the doctor. This medico gives him an aspirin or something stronger, and the headache goes away in a few minutes. It seems that everyone is happy. The doctor has his $100, and the man's headache is gone. Well, at least for a few days until the headache comes back, and this patient then has to take more aspirin to get rid of this supposedly new headache. The next thing you know, this patient of ours is now taking aspirin regularly, even on a daily basis, and it seems as if headaches are just something he has to live with from here on out. The thing that amazes me is that neither the doctor nor the patient ever ask themselves this one simple question. Do people get headaches because they have an aspirin deficiency? They just don't ask this question. You can take this a step further and similarly ask, does a person have cancer because they have a chemotherapy or radiation deficiency? And so on and so on. And what do the medicos really know about the long-term effects of all these pharmaceutical drugs that are so freely handed out to the tune of over $1.5 trillion a year? Honestly, most of them don't care to know because they'd have to do some serious soul-searching and take a cut in their incomes. By using just a little of our own common sense, anyone should be able to see with his own eyes that himself, his friends and his family are slowly worsening as the years go by, while the medicine cabinet continues to bulge at the seams with an ever-growing quantity of pharmaceutical drugs. Add to that an ever-increasing number of bills and visits to the doctor, and you'll see the whole picture. Just try this someday. Sit down with a full year's worth of medical statements and drugstore receipts and add them up. The final figure can be outrageous. And what have all these pharmaceutical drugs been doing to us since birth? They've been creating a dwindling spiral of disease. I'll give you an example. When you were 2 years of age, some family member, family friend, or neighborhood bully decided to add a little stress to your life. Mom or Dad might not have thought it was stress, but you certainly did. And shortly thereafter, you got sick and came down with your first serious cold and fever. A major detox, by the way. Now, if you were lucky, Mom only freaked out enough to give you a children's aspirin or a children's Tylenol, and you came through it kinda maybe okay. If you weren't quite so lucky, Mom really freaked and took you to the doctor who gave you something stronger and worse, and usually gave you an antibiotic to boot. Now, it looks like the symptoms went away and that you were cured. What actually happened was the symptoms were only suppressed. Looked like they went away. Damage was done to your liver and other vital organs by these medicines. There was a greater threat to the organs by these drugs, and the cold was stopped by your body in order to handle the greater threat of the medical drugs. You don't believe me? The next time you get a sliver or a bruise from a bang, or even a cold, hit yourself hard in the big toe with a sledgehammer. I guarantee you that you will forget all about the sliver, the bruise, and yes, even the cold, as your body now has a much more serious situation to handle. Aspirin causes bleeding in the stomach, and that is a bigger threat to the body than a headache, usually caused by stoppage in the bowel, by the way. The next time you're not feeling too well, go and deliberately pick a fight with your spouse, and watch how soon you forget about how bad you're feeling. Of course, you may suffer even worse tomorrow, having created a bad effect on your loved one, but you get the point. You don't need a pristine laboratory with stainless steel test tubes to bear this out. A little looking at life, and yes, even some remembering on your own part, will show this to be true. Okay, now you're 6 years old, and you've had a dozen or two colds and fevers, and even a couple of flus. And every time you got them, Mama gave you something from the drugstore or the doctor to handle them, which further suppressed your body's organs, glands, and immune system. And then one day you really get sick. I mean, really sick with a temperature of 106, etc. Mama, of course, freaks. By the way, this is probably what her mother did, which can lead to what looks like genetic diseases. And she takes you to the family medico one more time, and this time the doctor orders a large round of very expensive tests to discover you have allergies. And if you're really unlucky, ADD, attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now the nice doctor prescribes and puts you on another and even stronger medication to do what? You got it. Suppress the symptoms. Is there a cure in sight? Absolutely not. Don't even dare ask, because it's against the law to cure anyone. Now, as the years pass, You seem to be just one of those poor souls who seems to be allergic to just about everything, and your dosage of medications and their strength seems to go up at the rate of about once a year. All right. Now you're 10 to 15 years old, and due to the stress of street drugs and the crime rate in your school, you have to stay home for a week because you're really sick one more time and are having lots of trouble breathing. By the way, I'll get into this very important subject of stress a little later on. Mama, she's gray by now, takes you to a different specialist. She knows that something is wrong, but can't put her finger on it. And he orders a new battery of tests to discover what? Her baby now has asthma. Boy, now we're on a whole new set of medications, and some of these are pretty darn strong. The medicine chest is so full you couldn't get another thing into it. I mean, things fall out of it when you open the door. Get the picture? Well, time continues to roll on, and the drugs get stronger, the doses get bigger, and so on, until we hit the ripe old age of 25. And what do you know? We're concerned about that little lump on the neck, and we go to the physician one more time to discover we have the big C, cancer. Now you've hit the big one. I mean no, and I mean absolutely no medication or treatment gets as intense as chemotherapy and radiation. Ask a person who's had these. They'll tell you they feel like they've been run over by a train. The other route you could follow if you don't get cancer is the big H, heart disease. And don't be surprised if you end up with a baboon heart or something of the sort. And now you're into operations and all other kinds of medical treatment until you die at the ripe old age of 39 or so. Some of you may think I'm exaggerating here. I'm not. Talk to a cancer patient. Talk to a heart patient. They'll tell you. Oh, there may be some differences in the ages discussed, and some people won't die from cancer till they're 40, 50, or 60. A child might not get that first cold until the age of 3, and your asthma victim might not really develop a serious case until he's 25 or so. The point I'm trying to make here is that there is a dwindling spiral of disease, and the medical doctor is into nothing but disease management. That's all. Nothing else. And don't you dare ask how much money this physician has made throughout the whole process. I'll tell you. Hundreds of thousands of dollars and more likely millions. Not just from you and your insurance, but also as kickbacks, rewards, incentives, whatever you want to call them from the big pharmaceutical companies as well. Now, where do you think a lot of this stress is coming from? You got it. From the medical authorities themselves, who, backed by outrageous suppressive laws, are placing a heavy stress on the body by the use of all these drugs. And by the way, drugs can very easily stress you mentally as well. Do you want to see a doctor go bananas? Just tell him you want to get a second opinion from an alternative practitioner. Do you know that if you are a parent in the state of Illinois and your minor child is diagnosed with cancer, the state can sue you and even take your child away from you if you seek alternative treatment and do not have chemotherapy and or radiation treatment as deemed necessary by a medical doctor. Oh, I know not all MDs are bad, and many of them are just miseducated and therefore ignorant, but the majority are in it for only one thing, the buck. And believe me, they create their patients right from the cradle. I'm going to give you a few new ideas here. Number one, good vital health is normal. Think about it. Doesn't this just make sense to you? Number two, the body can actually heal itself. It was designed to do so. Hey, you break a leg, and when the doctor puts it into a cast, one of the few things he's good at, by the way, the bones grow back together again, don't they? And not at the order of the physician either. Then what makes you think that the body can't heal all the other things that are wrong with it if given the chance? Number three, disease is not normal. You have to work for it and earn it. You may or may not believe me here, but you did everything that was necessary to earn your disease. Oh, you had help from others, no doubt about that, but you were the one who made the decision to keep doing the same old bad habits. you are the one who, as an adult, continued going to the medico for your monthly dose of drugs. Where does the buck stop? Well, actually, the buck stops with the medical doctor and the pharmaceuticals, but the responsibility in the end is yours. You are responsible for the condition you are in, good or bad. You are where you are today because of decisions you made in the past. Where you will be in the future and what shape you find yourself in is completely dependent upon the spiritual, mental, and physical decisions you make today. My definition of a good patient is someone who realizes that they are the causative factor in their own lives and refuse to be victims. They know that their healing is their own responsibility. Only they can bring about their own cure. The original definition of doctor meant teacher, and that's what I'm all about. I can supply the tools and the knowledge for you to achieve a marvelous healing. But it is you who will avail yourself of this knowledge and then take the first step to your own recovery and reverse this dwindling spiral of disease. And that first step is making the firm decision to do something about it. And where do we start in reversing this dwindling spiral of ill health? The place all good health programs should start. Great nutrition. Fad diets are a major puzzle in society today as they create huge amounts of confusion in an already misunderstood field. Someone is always telling me about the latest and greatest super-duper weight loss program. There's diets like the Zone, the Beverly Hills Diet, Atkins, etc., etc., and a new one seems to come out about once a year. The problem here is that there is a scrap or two of truth in every single one of them, and it's that little bit of truth that hooks us. But much of the information in these books is false and misleading. How many of these have we all tried and eventually failed at, even though they seemed to work at the time? Obviously, they're all missing the boat somewhere, and I'm going to remedy that for you today. Hey, most of my patients tell me, I eat pretty darn good. And many of us think we're doing okay in the nutrition department, especially my friends who have some experience in alternative methods, and they think they're eating fairly well. I've got news for you. Most of you don't, and I'm going to tell you why. For several years, I have been researching and comparing organically grown produce with the commercially grown, and I finally concluded that the organic is far superior without question. In switching my patients over to a 100% organic diet, miraculous results were obtained in a very short period of time. Conservatively, I estimate that organically grown fruits and vegetables have 2 to 3 times the mineral and nutritional content in them. I've had many students and patients tell me that their terrible physical conditions were permanently corrected just by switching over to 100% organic with no other changes. This was evidence enough for me. And yet, you can walk into any large supermarket and see these big fruits and veggies that look kind of pretty, but there's hardly any taste to them and not much, if any, nutritional value. There is too little nutrition that can be used as building blocks to create strong, healthy bodies. On top of all that, they spray these nice-looking commercial vegetables with pesticides that are poisonous to you. Just because these toxins are at a level that is low enough so you don't die instantly, there is way more than enough to be damaging you and your family as the years go by. This buildup of toxins in the body makes one sicker and sicker. Oh, the organic produce you buy may have a few marks on it where some bug tried to sample it, but when you bite into organically grown food, there is actually an explosion of delicious flavor in your mouth. And to top it all off, the minerals and nutrition are actually there. I've found that kids who won't touch the commercial love the organic. Then there's the subject of meat. If you think what has been done to the commercial vegetable market is bad, what has been done to the meat industry in this country is nothing short of criminal. For the last 30-plus years, the amount of hormones, antibiotics, and steroids which have been used to produce fatter and bigger animals has been on the increase every year, so that today these meat products are not only ineffective for our nutritional needs, but are creating many physical diseases. And it's not just the beef and pork industries. The chicken industry is just as bad, and now they are even using steroids, antibiotics, and hormones in the farm-raised fish industry. This is beyond criminal, and I actually compare the size of this evil act to the Holocaust in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Why? Because millions of people are dying every year because of this, with heart problems and 1,000 other wasting diseases. Even so-called mental illnesses have been on a dramatic rise since these methods have been used on our meat products. But because one isn't killed instantly with these practices, they are actually allowed to continue and even encouraged by such as the pharmaceutical companies, medical doctors, and especially the psychiatrists. After all, this does create more business and money for them, doesn't it? Bad meat is the reason why most American children are starting to go through puberty at the ages of 7, 8, and 9, instead of the normal 12 through 15. This causes many teenage difficulties. It is the main cause of PMS and also the problems women are having with menopause. It is the reason why so many men are coming down with prostate problems. It answers the question why an increasing number of men and women are unable to have children. The weight problems of Americans are a direct result of the hormones used in the meat industry. But there is one other reason why so many Americans are so fat, and I'll get into that shortly. This suppressive treatment of our meats is causing an incredible number of problems in children, so that psychiatrists are having a heyday, inventing all kinds of new mental diseases every year, justifying the drugging of our kids with Ritalin, Concerta, Adderall, Prozac, and many other extremely destructive, mind-altering drugs. Some of these outrageous drugs are being given to our 4- and 5-year-olds, for God's sake. The youth of America are well on the way to being destroyed, and yet a media controlled by these vested interest groups directs our attention on terrorism and violence only. So, the first thing I can recommend to you in starting back on the road to physical health is to eat only those foods that are certified organic. Let me say that again. Certified organic. Even labels such as all natural or range free are suspect and should be avoided like the plague. Do you know that you can take beef, irradiate it, and still call it all natural? Did you know that you can feed a chicken antibiotics, steroids, and hormones, but because it lives in a barnyard outside, it can be called range free? This is ridiculous! Between 30 and 40 years ago, the FDA passed rules and regulations for what did or did not qualify a certified organic. At the time, they actually created these rules to suppress a young growing organics food movement. But to our great good fortune, their intention backfired, and nowadays the only saving grace in the entire American food chain are those two words, certified organic. All else is suspect. All of it. The rest is junk. Another piece of research that I did in the recent past was in the area of soy products. And even the certified organic label is suspect when it comes to soy. About 3 years ago, a certain soy protein powder was being used as a protein source for a few bodybuilders I had as patients. And I was asked one day by one of them if it was genetically engineered or not. Genetic engineering, sometimes known as GMO, or genetically modified organisms, had not been hit very hard up to that time, and my knowledge was rather scarce back then. But I thought I'd better investigate it. I learned through a friend who had researched long and hard on GE foods in general that what she was finding was shocking and downright monstrous. To be on the safe side, I then decided to personally investigate the source that all my bodybuilders were using, and proceeded to trace back the data trail to see how serious this GE thing was and whether or not there was any risk to my patients. I went to the biggest local health food store in my town and asked the bulk foods manager whether or not his soy protein powder was GE or not. He emphatically told me that his store did not sell anything that was genetically engineered. Absolutely not. I then asked him what the name of the product was and who was his supplier. He told me that they got it from Now Foods. Well, I thought this was a good start, as I've done business with Now Foods, as they are a pretty decent company. I then called them and asked one of the technical advisors if the soy powder that they were selling was genetically engineered. Absolutely not! No way in hell would they sell anything that was GE! Ridiculous! Well, okay, this sounded good, so I asked him who the manufacturer was that supplied them with the stuff. He told me the name and readily gave me their number. I'm feeling all right and making good headway here, so I next call up the manufacturer and ask to speak to a technical supervisor there as I had some questions. I get him on the line and I ask, "Is your soy protein genetically engineered?" There was a long pause, and then he returned with, "Well, what exactly do you mean by genetically engineered?" All of a sudden, I wasn't having such a good day, and I was starting to feel a little nervous. I returned with, "GE, you know, GMO, genetically modified organism." He said, "One moment, please, and I'll let you speak to our head chemist." After a wait of about 30 seconds, my anxiety is now building, the lead chemist comes on the line, and I ask my question again. He tells me proudly, "Well, yes, that brand is GE, and most of our soy products are." I'm feeling uneasy at this stage, and I ask, "Do you have any soy protein powder which is organic and non-GMO?" He then told me that they did, but he had to confess that they used the same machines to process the organic as they did the GMO, and that they did not necessarily clean the machines after each usage. The bottom of my stomach dropped about 40 feet, but I had one more question, which suddenly came to mind as this sinking feeling continued to grow. "Are you a solely owned company or a subsidiary?" He said, "The parent company is DuPont." I couldn't talk for a bit, and slowly just hung up the phone. I don't even remember if I said goodbye to the man. I then had the realization that one could lose many freedoms by just listening to others and not looking for oneself. Last but not least in the nutrition department is the subject of grains, seeds, nuts, and most beans, but especially grains. This is one area that has been grossly misunderstood by even those in the health food industry. After this section of my lecture, you will finally understand why so many Americans are fat and unhealthy. All right. You can take a kernel of spelt or hard red winter wheat or barley or any other grain and place it on your dining room table and leave it there for the next 5 years. And do you know it won't rot or decay one tiny little bit? They've even found grain in the pyramids over 2,000 years old, and when water was added, some of the kernels actually started to grow. This is an amazing fact. Why is this? Well, all grains, seeds, tree nuts, and most beans have as part of their makeup a thing called an enzyme inhibitor. What is this enzyme inhibitor, and what is an enzyme? Simply speaking, an enzyme is a substance that allows nourishment to easily move around and feed the entire body. There are thousands of different kinds of enzymes, and they allow every organ and gland in the body to be in communication with each other. I'll give you an example. Let's say that your liver receives some enzymes from some food you've just eaten. It will change those enzymes into a different enzyme and uses this newly created one to communicate and send some nourishment to your pancreas. Your pancreas then takes this enzyme it just received from the liver, changes it into a totally different enzyme again, and uses this one to communicate with and nourish the spleen. This happens throughout the entire body. Even organs and glands like the uterus, ovaries, testes, and the adrenals have their own enzyme usage and production of enzymes. So, what is an enzyme inhibitor? Well, inhibit means stop. So an enzyme inhibitor is a thing found in all grains, seeds, tree nuts, and beans that stop enzyme activity from happening. Their main purpose is to preserve these foods until the right condition exists where they can now grow into a parent plant. It's nature's way of preserving the life force for the purpose of future plant reproduction. The main ingredient that triggers that right condition where the seed will start growing is water. But what happens when we eat foods that have these enzyme inhibitors in them? You got it. Go to the head of the class. They begin stopping the natural enzyme activity already happening in our bodies. These foods are very difficult to digest. This means that every time you eat pasta, bread, cake, cereal, and all other grain products out there made from regular store-bought, unsprouted grains, you are slowing down the communication processes throughout the entire body and suppressing the body's ability to function at peak performance. Add to this problem refined sugar products, and you have the three major reasons why a majority of Americans are so darn fat. Sugar. I could do an entire lecture series on refined sugar, but let me just say here that there is absolutely no nourishment in it whatsoever. None. The only thing that all refined sugar products do is burn up the body's resources and suppress the immune system. They never contribute to building up the body. Absolutely never under any circumstances. I can't say it any plainer than that. A good book that digs deeper into this subject is called Sugar Blues, and I recommend you read it.